You may be wondering what's going to happen now that the governments here, there, everywhere have made various pronouncements about COVID, otherwise known as coronavirus. Let me tell you what our church policy is. Amen? In compliance with government policy, we propose that all who return from overseas self-isolate yourself for 2 weeks. That means stay at home, don't go to the movies, don't go to the theater, don't go to work, stay at home. All right? This is government policy. If you come from overseas, stay in self-isolation for 2 weeks. And where the government also says, if you don't need to, don't travel overseas. Stay at home and serve the Lord. Amen? Secondly, if anyone has a fever and you have respiratory symptoms like a cough, fever, a bit of a scratchy throat and body aches, don't ignore it. Don't be like a certain president. Go and get tested. All right? Thirdly, don't be fearful about coming to worship the Lord, because when we come under the shadow of the Almighty, no sickness or pestilence shall even come near us. But nevertheless, we will exercise common sense precautions. Be reassured that every child who goes to children's church, all the equipment are sanitized each and every week, so you can feel safe. And furthermore, just to be nice to one another, courteous to one another, let us all exercise good personal hygiene and exercise common courtesies. So make sure that we wash our hands as often as we can, especially when we go to the toilets. And also when it comes to having a cough or a sneeze, use, where's our picture? Is our picture there? There you are. Wash your hands, use a tissue for coughs, and if you don't have a tissue in front of you, just use your shoulder, right? And so that you restrict the dissemination of aerosols. And thirdly, avoid touching your face, and because that's where you bring the bug into your body. Now, you may have heard of certain places where they say you show each other the elbow. That is number one, rude. Because we Asians, if you don't want to touch one another, just use the South Asian way or use the Oriental way. All right? Using the elbow is number one route. And number two, it doesn't help with the transmission. Because what do you normally do? You touch your elbows. Right? That's a common thing. You touch your elbows and then you pass the bug. So don't do that silly thing. And so we encourage everyone to, out of courtesy to one another, out of reassurance for each other and our love for one another, we take special precautions to ensure that we have good personal hygiene and that wash our hands regularly. And when the stocks are available, we will make sure that there's a dose for everyone who wants to clean their hands as they come into the sanctuary or the children's church. I tried to get some, but I was told it's all out of stock. And even the doctor's surgeries need to have special permission to get them. And as further information comes along from the government departments, we will comply accordingly. So be reassured that we will take every appropriate precaution as a church family to take care of one another. Okay? And secondly, how many of you have signed up for Easter Alive? Yay! Praise the Lord! Give yourselves a hand. Not only have you saved some money, you've signed yourself up for something exciting. If you thought last year was great, this year is even going to be greater still. And for the children, this is what they're looking for. A children's carnival. How many of you enjoyed yourself with the children last year? Yeah, we had a wonderful time. This year, the electives are going to be even more exotic than last year. And last year, we had a wonderful feast. So don't miss out. And when is the closing date for early birds, eh? This Wednesday. So if you want to take advantage of the early bird registrations, sign up before this Wednesday. It's very easy. Just go into Easter Alive. Is that right? Simply Google Easter Alive and you find it all easily done for you. Even I could sign online. And without further ado, may I invite you to put your hands together and please welcome Pastor Dexter. good friend of ours, one in the family. Pastor Dexter, welcome. I'm not afraid of shaking his hands and giving him a hug too.
Thank you. Praise God. Very good morning to all of you. Very quiet. Good to see Pastor Chris and Catherine again. Great servants of God, man, woman of great integrity. And today I want to share about navigating to the storms, because 2020 is a year, the beginning of a new era, something we've never been before. So there are the good part of it, there are the not so good part of it. The bad part of it is a lot of shakings, a lot of from disaster to everything else going to happen. There's shakings of the nations going to take place. We've seen it happening. And the good part of it, of course, is that will be you can move into something that is unprecedented, move into, take possession of your future, what God has given to you. So if you look at the year 2020, the Hebrew year is 5780, starting at the end of September last year, and the 8 talk about pig in Hebrew means mouth, speech, and declaration. And because of that, something gonna happen that we never seen before began to take place. As 2 years ago, when Lily and I went with a team to Sarawak, to the village of Podam, the Bidayu village, 45 minutes away from Kuching. And the moment we arrived there, the church building was on the hill slope. And Lily opened her mouth and said, "The place is too small to contain the people. We need twice the size of the building and twice the size of the land." So we went to the wall where the shutters, the window all closed, shutters. We opened the window to find out what is behind the long wall. The building can put up 150 people at a time. Renovated 3 times, and there's no space left. They ran the kindergarten at the same time. And behind that, there was no land. It was a very high slope of a hill. Hill slope, very, very high. And that means to say that there's no land. A few weeks after that, there was a heavy rain. And suddenly, there was a landslide. And instead of the landslide, burying the church building, this time the hill slope behind the church building all disappeared, wiped out by the landslide, and having the same area as the church building. That means together with the church land, there'll be twice the size. The whole thing disappeared to the same level. Suddenly, like Mark chapter 11, verse 22, where you say to the mountain, "Have faith and do not doubt." And Jesus says, "The mountain shall be removed." This literally, the whole slope disappeared. And the owner decided to give it to the church. So now we have twice the church land to be built. That's how powerful. When we declare the word of God, it triggers a series of things that will cause the fulfillment of the word of God on earth. And so they did some fundraising, some events, They did raise some amount of money. We have one or two politicians giving 10,000, 20,000 ringgit, which is about a third of Australian, a bit less than a third of Australian dollar. Anyway, at the end of last year, the chief minister came, presented a check to the church pastor. It came out in the newspaper, the whole Sarawak paper, the Borneo Post. Then he gave 20,000 to our church, the biggest amount ever given. Even a Catholic got at the most 150, we got 200,000. Suddenly, even the finances began to come to build twice the size of the building. So now they are clearing the place, meeting some other place, so that we can build twice the amount of building. As we begin to declare the word of God, it triggers something powerful in heaven that brings fulfillment on earth. Not just the land came about, but the finances, the provision began to come. So that is how powerful when we declare the word of God. The question is, how do we learn to declare the word of God? Then you must learn to hear what God says, to hear his still small voice. You must read the word of God, that God began to put his word into you. And God can just pick up any part of the word and speak to you and remind you. We must have a communion, our hearts, our spirit, with the Spirit of God. 24 hours, when we walk around, when we cook, when we drive, talk to God. God will talk back to you. You can hear his voice. Some people say, I cannot hear the voice of God. It's a still small voice. It's the voice of someone that loves you. So much so that when God calls Samuel, he was about 3 years old. Samuel, Samuel. He thought it was Eli calling him because Eli loves him. Yes, you call me. He told Eli. So no, I didn't call you. It happened 3 times. And Eli discerned that it's God calling Samuel when he was just about 3 years old. It's a voice of someone that loves you. You know, if God came with a voice that's very frightening, Samuel, Samuel, she would say, Mama, Mama, he would start crying for his mom already, see. But it's a voice of someone that really loves him. He was very confident, very comforted. So we can hear the voice of God speaking to us. If we shut ourselves from hearing all kinds of voices around, if we shut ourselves from reading all kind of nonsense around, if we shut ourselves reading from a lot of evil, immoral, bad things through internet, cut it off, our mind, our spirit will be tuned to God. And 24 hours, God can speak to us anytime. The still small voice. Once, many years ago, I was reading this article happening in Canton in China. They have a mining operation going on. There were 400 people working in the mines underneath. And the one that's supposed to be a timekeeper to blow the whistle at the break time heard the voice of God saying, as a Christian saying, blow the whistle now. So he ignored it. It gets louder. But the third time, it was so loud, he blew the whistle. Because he just ignored it. He said, 1 hour more. How can I blow now? But as he blew the third time, because it was so loud, 400 miners came out, and there was an earthquake. Everything else collapsed and was buried. But these 400 were saved. They asked him, Warm means you blow the whistle and call us out, save our life. You say, it's my God. And they all knelt down and gave their life to Jesus Christ at the time. Because the voice of God comes louder if there's a danger. If you didn't hear it, you didn't give heed to it, it get louder. But normally, a still small voice, someone that loves you. So every day, 24 hours, even before you sleep, talk to God, worship Him, love Him, and let Him talk back to you, hear His voice speaking to you. You do that before you sleep, more than 80% of your dreams will be spiritual, will be from God. Because you fill your heart, your mind with God, with the presence of God. Meditate upon His word day and night. And something powerful going to take place. That's how you develop yourself to hear the voice, to see what God shows you in the spirit of you and speak it out. That will be the key for 2020. Then as you enter into a new era. An era unlike any other you have been. Beyond anything you have been before. The second thing that's happening in 2020 is a shaking in the heavens and on earth. Now, of course, in Australia, in January, the whole nation was shaken by the bushfires. You know, of course, someone put a very funny kind of posting somewhere in the internet and say, you know, in January, we in Australia have a bushfire disaster. February, coronavirus disaster. March, toilet paper disaster. It became world news. You know, become world news. It's not easy to get toilet paper. But they limit you now. I wonder why they buy so many toilet paper for. Anyway, there's a shaking that takes place in the heavens and the earth. Nations will be shaken. We have never seen so many nations be shaken, beginning with China. Of course, when the coronavirus started in Wuhan, and there was the epicenter at the time, the whole nation was shaken. Even the top leadership was shaken, totally shaken. Never seen anything like this. And we were having online meetings globally, and we have this. Pastor Ruth from Wuhan sent a video at a time, somewhere in January. She says, you know, we have four generations staying with me in my house. Four generations, grandparents, grandchildren. And all of us have the virus. And the symptoms start coming to me. I began to cough, began to have fever, pain all over my body. And I look outside my window to the city of Wuhan, it's death, desolation, hopelessness, despair, fear gripped the whole city. People can just drop dead while walking. And he told the Lord, I'm prepared to go if you want me to bring me home, but please help my older ones and my family, my younger ones, help them recover, deliver them. And then God spoke to her at the time. God said, you stand before the living and the dead. By the way, Pastor Ruth been to Adelaide, joined our team of family journey, homecoming here. And she came all the way from China to share at the time. And God said to her, you stand before the living and the dead. You can stop the virus. And that very night, she heard the voice of God, not just for her family, but the whole city at the time. Suddenly she looked at the city differently. They have home. They have life. You see God working again in a mighty way. And they have communion service. They put in the video communion. They have communion in the middle of the night. All members of the family have communion, break bread together. Because there's a victory in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 11, chapter 12, verse 11 say, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by not living their life unto death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they have communion together. And God delivered their family, healed them all. And now, Christians all over China heard about that. Suddenly, the whole family in China, together with five streams underground churches, maybe 50 million people, they came together, they heard the voice of God speaking to them. That on the 14th of Chinese New Year, get the whole China and global family break together to break the virus. Why 14? Because 14 of Hebrew New Year, the people of Israel slaughtered the lamb and sprinkled the blood on the doorposts. And when the angel of death passed by, they passed over. Passed over their family. None died at the time. So they did. We all joining globally. Joining. That was about 4th of February. Joining. Break bread together. Whole China. Those who got no bread because quarantine. They be all cannot go out to buy things. So instead of grape juice or wine, they have to use tea because they cannot find grape juice or wine. But they do whatever they could, invite people all over China. They begin to break bread. And since that day onward, I believe that the momentum of the virus was broken in China on the 4th of February, 14th day of Chinese New Year. When it comes to 27th February, we have online meeting again. She was sharing that great things are happening. God is turning things around. But suddenly, Christians are no more afraid. They have breaking of bread every day in their home, every day bringing up bread, make such an impact. And then when they see people on the streets are frightened, panic, they go out and pray for them, deliver them, heal them, preach the gospel to them, get them saved. Suddenly the Christians begin to rise up and move out because they say they love not their life unto death. They're not afraid. They go out and pray for the sick. When they see anyone panicking, in need, in trouble, they go out and pray. They will do that. And something happened. Since that time until now, their momentum has been broken and less and less, and suddenly all over China, except for Wuhan, there's no more infection, no more death. And even in Wuhan, they're getting less and less and less. Maybe about a dozen or so at the most. But something happened. Something we can learn from the people in China. Something we can learn from the family, from the church in China. That God wants us to demonstrate and to manifest the power of the blood. And to go forth and minister to people in such a way and turn things around. And that is why I take it seriously today. President Bush from America declared, today is a day, a national day of prayer. I ask the whole nation of America to pray, to break, to stop this virus. Then no other president, the prime minister have done that. Except President Bush, except President Trump. And today is the day, he declared, national day of prayer. Whole day of prayer. pray that God, say we need the Almighty God help to stop this virus. You know? And he believed in them. I think this is a very powerful thing. That when it's a need, when the whole nation must come together with Almighty God and pray. And God will act. He will deliver. So that is a powerful thing. Take all the precaution you need to. And Pastor Chris put a lot of good precaution as prescribed by the government. It's good. Take a precaution. Some kind of a defense posture. Same time, we must rise up and take the offensive to break the power of the virus. President Xi from China called it devil's virus. Suddenly, even a communist believe in the devil, you know, it's a devil's virus. It's a death plague. Second Samuel, chapter 24. When Samuel sinned against God by wanting to count the number of troops he had, and God gave him three choices in terms of judgment, he chose the third one. The nation will be hit by a plague, death plague for 3 days. First day, 70,000 people died. Angel of death slew them. And he came to Arunah, at the threshing floor of Arunah. The angel of death came to cause destruction. And David pleaded with God. He said, "This is our only sheep. I have sinned. I and my father's house have sinned. But these people are innocent." But God's mercy came and stopped the death. And God spoke to Prophet Gad and says, "Build an altar to the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah." Of course, David wanted to pay for it. Even the owner said, "You can have it free." He said, "No, I want to pay for it. To worship God, it costs. I don't want free. I want to pay for it." And build an altar to the Lord, offer sacrifices, burnt offering, and stop death. And stop the plague. So we stand before the living and the dead. There's something that in a natural, no government can help. But we as God's people, we can take the offensive. We have the power to act. We have authority to act. Amen? Don't allow fear to come. Take all the precautions you need, but don't allow fear to come and creep you. Believe the hand of God is upon you to do great things. Now, fourthly, in this year, 2020, oneness is the key to navigate through the storms in order to possess our future and to manifest His presence and glory. And that is the oneness we're talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. When they get together in one accord. Because of the oneness, they're blending their life together so one. There's a release of tremendous authority and power. And to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Holy Spirit suddenly came as they gather in oneness, in one accord. If you look at Acts 12, verse 12, verse 22, verse 12, let me read to you. So when talking about Peter, Peter was held in prison. Angel came to release him. And when he came to the house of Mary, in verse 12, chapter 12, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, there's the house of Mary, where many were gathered together praying. There's a word many, just enough. In the Greek, you talk about hikanos, just enough. Somehow or other, there's the number, they call it the critical mass number, just enough. In Book of Acts 120, just enough, Holy Spirit will come. Acts 12, just enough. How big a hall can take, you know, in a bungalow house in Jerusalem, where many were there in the house of Mary? I think perhaps maybe 100 people or so. But enough for God to release supernatural interventions and angels to set Peter free from prison. That's how much power and authority when we come together in oneness. Not just coming for coming's sake, but our hearts are blended as one. As one. In the book of Acts chapter 1, they said they had Mary, the mother of Jesus, the woman were there, staying there, praying, worshiping 50 days. You think it's easy to stay 50 days with all these women around, a man around? I don't think there are many toilets there. You know? And who's going to cook? Who's going to clean? And who's going to worship the Lord? And the temper can flare out, impatience can come, people get very angry, but because of something happened, they became totally one. That God was so pleased with it. When that oneness takes place, God released such authority that because we already formed the critical mass, that's something that can trigger lots of supernatural things. When we come together as one, God can release His manifest presence. When His presence comes suddenly, when God can release His glory among a group of people. And we see in John chapter 17, and Jesus prayed, verse 22, and later on verse 28, verse 22, He said, Father, the glory You've given to Me may be in them, and the love You've given to Me may be in them. There's something happened when Jesus prayed that they may be one. The moment the oneness come, that with the Father and the Son was one, just as we are one, let them be one. When the oneness come, we are inseparable, indivisible, so integrated in our life together, the devil cannot have victory. There's a key to going through storm. No matter who go through the storm, no matter which family go through, whether it's sickness or trials or all kinds of problem the church is going to go through, but if we are united together as one, the devil cannot have victory. Actually, book of Philippians, verse 1, verse 27, have this to say, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stood fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. You're not terrified. What is the devil trying to do? He's accused of the brethren. He accuses you. He's weakened, he's weaker, he will destroy everything possible from your health, from your family, from your wealth, everything he will destroy. But when we stand together, not terrified by our adversaries, which is then a proof of perdition. What do you mean by a it is to them a proof of perdition. In my paraphrase way, I would say, it's a proof. It's an omen. It's a sign to this demonic power. The end is at hand. Perdition, the end. It's already been predicted. The signs already happening. The end, their end will come. This in a disastrous way. So that is how they put it. Yeah, I still remember some of a translation I did from the Greek at the time. Philippians, one of the books I got to translate. And that is what it means. And it's an omen of the destruction of an enemy that they're going to take place. But to you, of salvation and death from God, to you is a sign of God's deliverance. If you are so one, it's a sign God going to deliver you. No matter who you are, what members from the church, God deliverance going to come. To the enemy, the end had been made known like all men as a proof. It's coming to an end. So the unity that we're talking about is binding our hearts together. It's very, very important. The oneness of mind and of spirit. And that the devil will do everything possible to destroy the oneness in family, in the church. Accusation will come against leaders of the church, against the pastors. I've been pastor for more than 40 years. It came quite a number of times, not just once. It can be very vicious. But when we remain as one together, nothing the devil can do can destroy us. Anything he wants to throw at us, he cannot succeed. The oneness is the key. And that is very powerful because we need to stand for each other at this time because we are moving to a year we have never been before. The challenges are great, but the victories are great. Things are going to happen in an unprecedented manner. We got to be together, stand together as one. And I, somewhere end of last year, I received this message from Sri Lanka. The one that organized my conference and arrangement. They say, Pastor Dexter, he says, I've been applying your word. Oh, I see this trouble now. What is he trying to say? There's a piece of property near to the church in an expensive area, but going for half the price, $60,000. And I put in my first $1,000, and I got 3 weeks left. What shall I do to raise the money? I said, have you gone to the banks to find out where they give you a loan? After a week, he says, the bank won't want to loan me anything. I say, okay, second option, have you gone to your friend who is a pastor, a businessman from Singapore? He can help you. Then he came back a week later and said, yeah, he's willing to help. But a few days later, his wife stopped him. The wife was against it. I said, don't give up. Let's believe God for a miracle. They got a few more days left. Then one Sunday, and on Tuesday, I was supposed to pay the money. On a Sunday, he said, a pastor's wife wrote to him from U.S., pray for us. We can have a board meeting, whether to approve a loan for you to buy a house. And true enough, the afternoon, the board agreed to loan him $59,000. And on Monday itself, the pastor from the U.S. came down with a check, $49,000. When he met the pastor said, here's the check for the $9,000 for you. There's one difference. Before it was a loan, but this time, the church decided to give it to you as a gift. Not as a loan. You don't have to pay back a cent. He just collapsed on the floor, began to weep and began to cry, overwhelmed. Never seen anything like that. So he called his wife with tears in his eye. Then I was there in January to dedicate the building that he just bought for some renovation. She make it beautiful. And something powerful happened. Never have a property, never have a chance. But suddenly, one property all paid for. You know, something began to happen. What a year! It's unprecedented. I want you to let you know, as you come together, stand for each other, pray for each other, you see miracles taking place. We got to stand for one another. Amen? And see God, things begin to happen. What else happened when you move together as one? God released his presence and his glory. His glory there was stretched was into the heavens. God can concentrate it together in one place. Like in the holiest, holy, in the temple, at the Ark of the Covenant, burning bush. And God can actually put it as if in a capsule form and put it into a man, Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 14. And we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Suddenly, the glory of God can be embedded in the personal way, in man. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 18. With unveiled face, as we behold the glory of God, we have been transformed into the same glory, same image. Something happened when God reveals glory to you, it's imparted to you. If we spend time with Jesus. In the early 80s, when Lily spent time in the prayer room in the morning, kneeling down there, Jesus walked through the locked doors and took her out through the locked doors and brought her to the other part of the building. We have 15 students in Bible school at the time, having a devotion, and Jesus talked to her for each and every one of them, what they're going to be in the future. Then they both walk upstairs to my children's room and talked to her for each one of the children about the future. And when she went to have breakfast with the rest, they refused to eat. They said, "We won't eat until you tell us what happened to you during your devotion." She said, "Strange, why you want to know my devotion?" No, we won't eat until you tell. So give a gist of what happened. Then they all sigh, a sigh of relief. Then she asked, "Why may you ask the question?" They say, "There's a glow on your face. We want to know where it comes from. How the glow come about on your face. When we see the glory of God, spend time with God, that glory is imparted to us. Into our spirit." Moses' glory passed away. The glory God gave us will not pass away. It's time, in 2020, we can manifest the presence of God and his glory. If you ask me, how to explain what is glory? A glory is his splendor. It's his weightiness, his heaviness of his splendor, his magnificence. His beauty, his integrity, his holiness, his love. It's so beautiful, so bright. Those who capture the glory of God do not want anything else. That's why we sing the song this morning, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." All the things of this world will be dim as we see His glory and grace. Something happened. Young people will not want to anything else the world can offer, because this is a celestial beauty. This out of this world. Never seen that before. When Peter, James, and John saw the glory of God that came down upon Jesus on the mountain, the transfiguration, suddenly His whole body changed. Brilliant. Why? Even the glory flows right through His clothes, through His skin and His clothes. It's so beautiful. The Peter, James, and John said, "God, Jesus, let us make 3 tabernacles and stay for." It's so good. We can stay forever here. But that is God's purpose for us. One day, what happened to Jesus is meant to be for us. Our earthly body will be swallowed by immortality, a glorious body full of glory. It will never die. Never be attacked by any virus nor death. So glorious. Once we captivate, we have a glance at the glory of God, this whole world dims away. We don't want anything else. That's why when I was young, 19 years old, when God gave me a vision of it, a bright light, when I reached a bright light in my sleep, in my dream, there was the glory of God. I was floating like a traveler in a plane over many places. And God spoke to me for half an hour about my future, what He wanted me to be. Once, when that happened, my life totally changed, because it is not man, it is God. I tasted the glory of God. My life will not be the same again. Things that it will have no more attraction for me. And this is the year when God wants to manifest His presence and glory to you personally and corporately, coming together. Not just individual. When we come together, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's glory come. Shall we stand together right now? That's so that we can pray. The oneness will release the manifest presence and glory of God. And to achieve that oneness, it's not, we must go beyond the superficial level of say, hi, and good to see you. But that go deeper in love. There got to be a brokenness in our body. The humility and brokenness in our life, that we can really love each other, value each other very dearly as never before. That you are my brother, you are my sister, you are my family. You mean a great deal to my life. There's one thing you can value, you'll never regret. There are people God put upon your hearts to love, to cherish. Nothing can take it away from you. This is where we come together as a church. In the oneness, you can have victory. Would you, in oneness, stand and pray for your pastors every day? Support them, stand with them, pray for them. And won't allow anyone to accuse them. Don't listen to all their accusations. A lot of vicious people around from time to time. I've gone through that many times. Don't do that. Okay. Don't be influenced But all manner of accusation leveled at your pastors, never. They are men and women of integrity. I know them enough. They can trust them. They can trust them. Come and move together as one, as a church, to possess your future possession. There are greater, mighty things waiting for you to possess, your inheritance. Why is the devil so angry, trying to destroy your life, your family, and your church? Because great things are about to happen. You're trying to put a stop to them. The devil trying to put a stop to them. But when you come together, it's a sign to their perdition. And all men, their end is at hand. God, deliverance, salvation means deliverance come upon you. Amen? Shall we stand and raise up our hands right now? They sing the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Especially young people. That you will not be attracted by the worldly attraction, by sinful things. They're all trash. By the beauty of Jesus. When the glory of God came upon you, His love flows so deeply upon you. As you stretch your hands, that glory can be made liquid. Love is liquid glory. It flows. It can heal. It's time to turn our attention to Jesus. The voice in heaven said to Peter, James, and John, voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Father said, "Shut up. Don't talk all your nonsense. Shut up. Keep your eyes upon Jesus." He manifests the glory of God. Do you know that you one day is yours? And now for you to manifest a certain degree, from one degree to another degree to another degree. And that glory will never die. Even your body will die one day, but the glory of God within your spirit will never die. It goes to God. It's a splendor. Magnificence of God with such heaviness, such concentration coming upon you. His love, His integrity, His honor, His magnificence, His power, all coming together in a concentrated way. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Shall we sing the song?